Welcome back to the Data with Arta talk show. My guests in studio are Jessica Oh, John McCumber, and I'm going to butcher it.
Yagohawine.
I could do that one. Okay, I got that one. And we're talking about addictions, and we're talking about with these people who've chosen sobriety as a way of life. And I just had a few more questions for you. Mm-hmm. And I guess, what was it that made you change or want to change your life? What were the kinds of things that really motivated you to do something about it?
Well, I am a mother. My son is 14. Which
oh boy!
Is, yeah, that age. That's about the time I had my first drink. So I decided that I didn't want to be the parent who is saying, "Do as I say and not
absolutely
as I do."
Yeah.
So. That was a huge factor in making the decision to cut alcohol completely from my life so that I could make sure that I was making the right decisions to parent my son in the best way possible.
And I guess the other question I would have for you, what did you do, I guess, what have you done in, like, the past year or so after making that decision to really help you to maintain on this path?
Well, maintaining sobriety for me is being able to do CrossFit. CrossFit has been such an integral part of my sobriety. I can't talk about it enough, really. I could go on and on about CrossFit. I really love it. But it's more than just the physical at Ganawage CrossFit. It's a community, the coaching there, and
the support,
the
right?
Members, the support. Everybody is very, very supportive of everything you do. And we don't sit there and have meetings about our sobriety,
right.
But we all kind of know, as, you know, small town Ganawage, everybody knows a little bit about everybody else. And being together in a healthy situation is what we can do there. As a community, CrossFit community, and that's pretty much my number one, my go-to. Anytime I'm feeling any doubts or sadness or anger or anything, happiness. If I'm happy, I go to the gym. If I'm sad, I go to the gym. You know, it's a great place, and the environment there is just amazing.
And I guess supportive, right?
Supportive and very positive.
And what was the first thing you did yesterday?
The first thing I did yesterday, I actually got my first ring muscle up at Ganawage CrossFit.
And for us non-knowing people, could you share what that is, please?
Ring muscle up is a gymnastics movement where... Wow, how do I explain this? You hang from the rings and you do a kip,
you kind of
which
like
is which is
body.
A swing, and you have to pull the rings to your below your shoulders, and then be able to straighten your arms out. It takes great strength, and I've been working on this for a really long time, and I got my first one yesterday.
Excellent.
And, yeah, I'm really proud about this.
You're making my muscles ache by just talking about it. I don't think I ever had muscles in the upper body, just so we're aware of that. I guess living this new lifestyle, what makes you proud?
I'm proud that I can be a more positive person all around. I think that alcohol had a huge effect on positivity in my life, and I'm proud that I can show my son that, you know, you can live a great life without alcohol.
Excellent. Do you get worried about maintaining this lifestyle?
No, not really, because I do have a huge support system. My family is number one, my friends, and like I said, my other family or community, like CrossFit family, are there for me.
So I guess you can say you found support out there, because I think one of the things when we talk about addictions and sobriety and recovery is having the supports. You know, for you, it's the CrossFit smoking, and I see a lot of their videos and what it's done for so many people, and it's an amazing thing, you know, that people can do that. And it's funny because my first thought was like, this is a new family, you know, when I remember seeing some. So it's a great outlet for some people. John, what do you have in terms of supports and things?
Well, I have family, and I found new friends inside of a 12-step program. I have, I'm busy on the phone helping others nightly, daily, evenings, and I work with others to recover today. We sit at the kitchen table, and we work one-on-one.
I guess I'm going to ask both of you this question. In terms of, you know, if someone came to talk to you, what would be things you would recommend? You know, if someone hearing the show today, and what would be something that you would recommend to people?
Get rid of your old friends.
That's a given. That's a hard one, though, for a lot of people, because
yes,
people think they're you know, your best friends, you know?
I couldn't imagine when I was using. I couldn't imagine living sober. I did not know how, because my past experience shows... every time I got into trouble or something, I drank or I picked up. I did not know how to live.
Yeah.
My 12-step program has showed me how to live one day at a time. And it works for me.
Okay.
A friend of mine told me, take a piece of the pie wherever you can get it, whether it be longhouse, whether it be go to the gym.
Yeah.
My younger son, he used to like going to the gym when he was angry, and he would take his frustrations out on the weights. And I never got to the gym. Maybe one day I will. I think I do my gym at work.
Maybe we'll have her being an influence on you, because that's something that's working for her,
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
I'm open to all. You know, I have the honesty, willingness, and open-mindedness to accept things now.
And what about you? What would be something, if someone came to you, what would be some advice or some thoughts you would share?
Well, I think for me was, I knew that I was ready. And I think the best advice that I can give through my experience is to make sure that you're ready, and it's okay to fail. If you fall off the proverbial wagon,
yeah,
here, it's okay. When you're ready, it'll happen. And if you can't do it on your own, there are programs, there are other people that you can see, and I'm willing to talk things over with you. I don't really have any qualifications, but I've done it, and I can give you.
But you kind of do. It's
experience.
Called life.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you know, I know it's not easy to stray off that path. You know, that's where bullying comes in, because, you know, people think, well, you're not the same as us. It's like a group think. And I think sometimes that's been our toughest thing as a community, to be able to break that, you know, having people live sober lives. And we have tons of people in the community, tons of role models, you know, and I think it's exciting. You know, I can go back almost 30 years of working in this field, and I can share with you, it was few and far between, and we're seeing more and more people choosing a healthy lifestyle of free of alcohol and drugs, and it's exciting.
And you know, that's it. It's baby steps, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You don't see changes,
nope,
a year or 2 years later when you're looking at the whole community. But I always like to use the example of drinking and driving. Right. I mean, Luann, you'd probably remember better than me, but going back to the 60s, the 70s, the 80s,
yeah,
what it was like, especially around graduation time. Right. Whereas now, it's not to say we don't have those incidents.
Right.
But, you know, you had, you know, May came along and people were expecting it all summer.
Yeah.
Right. That's what they were expecting all summer, was the loss of young people. It still happens. We still have work to do. We can't do that work unless we're talking about it and being honest. And it's not just about focusing on youth,
yeah,
right?
No.
But it's everybody. You know, as adults, we need to talk about it and reevaluate our relationship with substance use. As elders, we need to talk about and reevaluate our relationships with substance use and addictions. It's not just about youth, you know. And for youth who are looking for role models, we have to have those adults out there for them.
Exactly. And I think you brought up an excellent point, was you can't tell somebody to do something that you're not willing to do. mm-hmm. or say to do the opposite, you know. And that's how most people do it, you know. They'll say, oh, don't drink and drive, but you're drinking and driving, you know, telling your children, or don't do this and don't do that. We were talking about this yesterday, just with smoking. You know, some people quit because they didn't want their children to do the same thing. And it's just as difficult to quit smoking as it is to quit alcohol, or, you know, to maintain a sober life. It's really not an easy challenge.
It's not, because, you know, and it's not just about not doing that activity, or, you know, you just choose not to do it. There's, you know, it's really, you know, looking at yourself, looking at your, you know, your base values. What do you believe about yourself?
Yeah.
What do you value about yourself? What connection do you have to other people? What's your connection to the universe, right? Looking
right.
at that spiritual health. And how do you manage those things? Are you ready to really, you know, look at those things and really confront the things that you're not comfortable dealing with, right? And substance use for a lot of people is, I don't want to deal with that. Maybe I can't deal with it, you know. And again, you know, I get back to, why do we talk to kids about emotions and how to talk about their emotions, and even just how to name their emotions, you know? Because if they can't even say what they're feeling because they don't have a word for it, it's just easier to cover it up, right? You know, and it's hard to look at your emotions and you know, why do I feel like that, and what am I going to do about it, and can I actually take action to deal with that? And that's why those skills are important, and not just for kids, right?
No, nope,
for
absolutely
adults.
Not. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, when we talk about addictions and we look at the statistics of who drinks and who, you know, develops a, you know, an addiction, you know, we often see that addictions are higher in men. And when we talk about the emotional component, there's kind of a running joke that men have three emotions. They have happy, angry, and hungry.
And is that true, John? You want to answer that for us?
Right, but
I wanted to add something, you know, yeah. As an iron worker, tree cutter, a Mohawk man, young man, I was taught not to feel, suck it up, and that's it, you know? We don't cry. You know, we don't cry. We go to the bar and we drink it off. That's what I was taught. I was taught not to feel.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, most of our iron workers or our men think that way. We still do it with children. Oh, stop crying.
Yes.
It doesn't hurt. You know, and it's like, and it's like, sometimes it even goes back to child rearing, what you tell your children of, you know, feeling emotional, and we're human beings. That's what we have. That's what, you know.
Yeah. And then looking at the bigger picture, it goes back to child rearing. Where did we learn to parent? Well, we didn't learn from our parents. You know, our parents learned it from, in some cases, residential
schools,
or, you know, in the day schools where, you know, you were taught not to have feelings,
yeah.
and not to connect to anybody. Well, if you can't connect to other people and you can't even connect to yourself, at the end of the day, like, you know, we as human beings are social animals.
Yeah.
We want to be with other people. We want to connect. And if you can't connect with people, you'll connect with a substance.
And that's a perfect picture of it. I don't think it could get any clearer than that, you know? It's very powerful, because I think it is. It's one of the difficult things. And if you think about when you talk about addictions, you know, the behaviors, don't trust, don't talk, don't feel. I learned that a long time ago, and this was through some of the people that were at a conference. And those words stick with me all the time, because that's what we do. That's what we encourage our community to do, that, you know. And finding ways to cope.
But we do a show like this.
Yes.
Right? You know, and it's like, there's going to be people out there listening right now who recognize the emotions, who recognize the behaviors, and it's going to resonate for them. And maybe, you know, today or tomorrow isn't going to be the day they decide that they're ready to make a change, but these stories might be a first step. So for any of our listeners out there, you know what? The month of February, we have volunteers coming in on K103's Party Line Talk Show every week. So there's going to be a show every week where we'll speak with different people in the community who have either overcome addiction, or, you know, have chosen sobriety. And you're going to hear a variety of stories. You're going to hear a variety of journeys. And, you know, I can't say it enough. I am just getting to meet some of the bravest people in this community: fathers, mothers, children, grandparents, brothers, sisters. And that's what this community is. You know, we're just one big family, and we have to learn to be there to support each other.
Any parting words from either one of you, or words of encouragement for other people?
Sure. I'd just like everyone to know that you're not alone. You don't have to go through this alone. I didn't go through it alone. I didn't get sober alone. I cannot tell a woman how it feels to give birth, but I can absolutely agree upon talking about drugs and alcohol. I know the feelings of hurt, pain, and neglect of family, lying, cheating, and stealing, misery. I can relate with this stuff. And I found one way out. One way is a 12-step program. There are many other ways.
Yeah.
There's the Healing Lodge, KSCS can help. I just found one way. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Thank you so much, guys, for coming in to share your story. I really appreciate it.
If you're looking for help, you have questions, you can give us a call at KSCS 450-632-6880. Ask to speak with intake.
Okay, thank you, guys, once again. Coming up tomorrow on Day de Watarda, Party Line Talk Show is the All Gonna Get Hub Party Line Talk Show with Jose Donaleo. Up next with the 1 o'clock news is Paul Grafe. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Onigi Wahi.